This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
The Oil and Dollar Teeter-Totter.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. When one goes up, the other goes down. Oil rallied towards $133 a barrel this morning on a weaker dollar. Also, there are concerns about stagnating production in Russia and other countries outside of OPEC. This week in Congress, executives from big oil companies have been telling lawmakers the fastest way to reduce prices for oil and gas is to allow more oil drilling in the U.S. But as Marketplace's Bob Moon reports, oil companies aren't even tapping the domestic petroleum reserves they already have.
Oil execs spent the past couple of days claiming their hands are tied when it comes to drilling for more oil here at home, and it's up to Congress to change that.
Open up more federal lands and allow us to responsibly produce more American oil and natural gas.
Chevron Vice Chairman Peter Robertson chided lawmakers for limiting development without good reason. But at the Center for American Progress, energy expert Daniel Weiss says those same execs have been making excuses for years that they can't keep up with the government drilling permits they already have. By some estimates, 75% to 80% of existing leases are untapped.
Why would they want us to open up new areas if they don't even have the infrastructure capacity to explore and develop existing leases? I think it's about something more fundamental, greed.
Some lawmakers are pointing back at the oil companies, complaining they can sit on a lease for 30 years or more without producing a drop. All the while, the idle holdings can still be used to inflate their theoretical reserves and boost their stock prices. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
They can merge, they can get rid of snacks and charge baggage fees, but they just can't seem to leave their problems behind. The Standard & Poor's Rating Services is placing 9 major carriers on credit watch. That doesn't mean their debt ratings are being downgraded, but there are negative implications. The Dow gained 24 points to 12,625 yesterday. The Nasdaq was up 16 to 2464. The S&P 500 rose 3 to 1394. A mix in Asia today. European shares are lower. Wall Street will be closed Monday for Memorial Day. With the economy in the dumps, fewer people are buying cars. We've heard that a lot. But a new study this week puts a number on it, saying a million fewer cars are expected to be sold this year. At the same time, automakers are struggling with higher production costs. Jill Barshay has more.
Thanks to soaring commodity prices, it costs automakers $750 more to produce a car this year. That's according to Alex Partners, a Detroit consulting firm. John Hoffecker is a managing director.
The precious metals which go into the exhaust system to make sure that you have clean air, those prices have doubled in the last year. Steel has doubled in the last 5 months.
Hoffecker says automakers can no longer absorb these costs or force suppliers to shoulder them. That's spurring them to rethink how they make cars.
They're looking at very creative ways, in fact, to use less material in a vehicle.
Or substitute carbon fiber for metal, just like the tennis racket industry did years ago. I'm Jill Barshay from Marketplace.
In Missouri, one dealership is trying to sell more cars by offering free gas or a free handgun. The general manager at Max Motors says most buyers are picking the weapon.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with patient groups, first responders, and physicians to save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. On the web at Medtronic.com. And by Clarkson Potters, The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat, available now.
While fans wait to see what teams will face off in the NBA Finals, there's a lot of debate going on about the path some players take into the world of professional basketball. A former USC basketball star was just dropped yesterday by his agent ahead of the NBA draft next month. It all goes back to allegations tied to the NBA's so-called one-and-done rule.
It was put in place a couple years ago, preventing an 18-year-old coming out of high school from pretty much becoming an instant millionaire. Sports writer Donnell Alexander is here to talk more about this. What was the idea behind the rule?
Well, the plan was that players would no longer be able to come directly to the NBA. They'd have to do a year of college. And the problem with that is these kids are bound for the NBA by the time they're 13, 14 years old. They're heavily scouted. They know their value. Every player who's come in with that expectation that they do 1 year and quit has done so. And it's hurt the classroom environment, obviously. That's the first thing that takes a hit. But there's also room for lots of corruption.
Can you explain one of the latest examples we have at USC?
Yeah, the latest example at USC is O.J. Mayo. And the allegations are that since he was a high school player, an agency has been funneling $30,000 in cash toward him, which sounds like a lot of money. And obviously it is for a kid.
For a high school
kid, I'd say. It's a lot of money.
And so the runner is supposed to what sort of...
Here's where it really gets complicated.
Get this kid ready to go a certain way once
the idea is that at the end of his amateur career, he'll sign up with the agent. You know, these runners were basically started by the shoe companies. The shoe companies have their hands very deep in amateur athletics. They're sort of wooing the kids so that the kids will come with them by the time they're professionals. The Adidases, the Nikes, they're all players in the game.
And what about the NBA? What kind of questions does it have to ask itself right now?
The real question that everyone's asking right now is this one-and-done rule beneficial to anyone?
So what about you? Are you a fan of one-and-done? What would you do?
I think one-and-done's a really bad rule. I think that O.J. Mayo, for example, he was the person who could open the Galen Center at USC. Granted, he probably made $30,000, maybe more, for his appearance there, but he put USC basketball on the map. The number 32 jersey at USC is a high seller. He doesn't get a cut from that. And the TV deals, all of these things add up to a fairly inequitable deal. So, in essence, the NBA is shirking its responsibility by not developing its own minor league.
Donnell Alexander blogs about sports and fitness for Moly.com. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
A link to that site is at marketplace.org. Have a great weekend in Los Angeles. I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.